Gazoo!
Yes, Your Darkness?
The ghouls ate my phone again!
I'm sorry, Your Darkness!
It was my favorite iPhone! I thought they only liked the taste of human skin.
Human skin? Bones? Phones? They'll eat anything, really! Don't worry, Your Darkness. We don't own them.
What do you mean, we don't own them? Are you shoplifting again?
Even better! I got them from Grover.com, the new consumer electronics subscription service. For a low monthly fee, you get just about anything you want. From phones to drones to laptops, gaming equipment, VR headsets, GoPros, and more! And the best part is that Grover covers up to 90% of the repair and damage costs.
So, it's like Netflix or Spotify, but for electronics?
Subscribing is hauntingly easy, Your Darkness. Go to Grover.com/Halloween. Browse the Grover website and find the tech you want. Select how many months you'd like to rent, then place an order. It's that easy. You can rent 1, 3, 6, or 12 months. The longer you rent, the lower the price.
These prices are insane. Gazoo, iPhone starting at $44, a Nintendo Switch for $14, AirPods for $12.90, mind blown. We could even rent a full gaming setup and start our own Call of Duty squad. That would be lit. That's what it's called, right? Call of Duty squad?
Subscribe to hundreds of products from your favorite brands like Apple, Samsung, Bose, Dell, Razer, Garmin, and many others from Grover.com/Halloween. Grover's circular model contributes to the reduction of e-waste by reusing their electronics across multiple life cycles. Sign up for Grover right now. Get 10% off each month on anything you rent when you use the promo code Halloween at checkout. That's Grover.com/Halloween. Grover.com/Halloween. Sorry, Europe. This is for America only.
Hello, I'm Jared Goodstadt, the creator of Halloween in Hell, the world's first proto-musical for the podcast space, starring Tommy Lee, Machine Gun Kelly, Ian Dior, 24K Golden, Femme, and Dana Dentata. I created this podcast in the throes of COVID during 2020, not really knowing this was going to be a big tentpole moment in the medium of podcasting, but also my career and how this would change the trajectory of my musical ambition in the media space forever. Up until this point, I was known as Jingle Jared, making music for some of the biggest films and TV shows of all time. Shows like Pawn Stars, The Voice, American Pickers, Lego Ninjago, Night School with Kevin Hart. But I truly never felt that I was living up to the potential of being a really great creator of making music on my own terms, and by creating a musical for ourselves, for our own media company, and that really tapped into the moment of this post-Travis Barker pop-punk world that was unveiling itself in 2020. Our project with these cast of characters and a sound of music that we were at the tip of the spear on ended up becoming just a really important moment for music. And although the music itself didn't end up being top 40 chart hits or end up burning up the streaming charts, what it did do was unlocked a piece of content that fans of Machine Gun Kelly, 24K Golden, Ian, etc., their fans could lean into during the holiday season and become a thing that here we are a year later. The music is now on the radio. We have a front page again of Apple and Stitcher podcast promoting this thing. And Jeff and I have always had a very unique musical friendship and partnership. And this is a discussion about how we herded all the cats and got everybody to the Audio Chateau at a very challenging time and made some incredible music. So check it out. We hope you enjoy it.
One time was yours, now you were mine, and now I'm done, done, done.
That is the song Climb, But that is the demo that I made when I was putting together Halloween in Hell. I ended up singing into my iPhone, and that little ditty ended up getting sent off just as a vocal-only thing to my partner Jeff Peters. But we're going to get into all that in this discussion today. That song ultimately became a collaboration between Machine Gun Kelly, 24K Golden, and unlocked the world of Halloween in Hell. Carry on, know you're strong, and you can make it up to heaven's gates. So, hey, this is Jared Goodstadt, creator of Halloween in Hell, with my longtime music partner, Jeff Peters, and he and I are discussing the music of Halloween in Hell and the odyssey that we went on to make this project that is now 1 year old. So congratulations on, we made something that people actually listen to, so that's cool.
Yeah, I think this is the first one. Like, this was proof of concept for, like, a full, like, blockbuster podcast, scripted podcast with music integration for the company, really. I mean, Make It Up As We Go was, like, our entrance into, like, musical podcasts.
This one happened in a weird way because it kind of, like, where we have time and the luxury of just, like, thinking about things and making things typically with our other projects, they can go on for months or even years. This was like sometime in August, we were like, let's make a musical about Halloween and let's use like the biggest stars in the world to do it. At which point, yeah.
In a way, it was like based on how we previously worked, like the longest amount of time that we like had spent developing from like soup to nuts an entire project. And even from that, it was like we had more time than usual. So like we were able to flex like our muscles, our songwriting muscles and our like creative muscles in a way that was like kind of similar to how we had worked, but gave us more freedom, which if you heard like a Hollywood like producer or director saying that like you have like 2.5 months to go from like no scripts to like fully music, they'd be like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's like, yeah, it's funny because I went through, you know, just so that we can like walk through our process of how we did this. I went through Dropbox to see some of the demos we did before we had scripts, and you and I were sort of like punching in the dark a little bit here. Some of these titles like that never made it, which I'll probably play in here, but we did Hell is a Fairy Tale. We did something that was like the Jambly song because we had like we like started things. We had some weird loose plot points, and I remember like just because COVID was going on, you and I were never physically in the same space, and on top of that, we started to just like really think, okay, when we have songs, how are we going to actually do this? And because you and I had so much of a track record of working pretty much remotely all the time, that we had to like bring people into this world of, you know, making demos and sending it to them without any real structure and going, do you like this? Will you record it? I feel like for us, that's now become the blueprint of how we do everything.
Mm-hmm. We adapted what we were used to in a way that I think was fresh. We're not just approaching this from music, we're approaching this from how does it integrate into the story that we're also creating. And I think the artists that we work with really probably appreciate, since we basically got Golden, Ian Dior, Machine Gun Kelly right on the precipice of them being like household names, they're probably like super stoked to do it, but also have it so simple as like, here's some tracks, do your part, you're in and out. Do what you want to do, and without like kind of our working experience together, we wouldn't have been able to like present that in a way that worked for them. Well, if it was like, oh, we kind of want you involved in like, let's go back and forth for like 2 months, and you're like, nah, like I don't know, like maybe this works. Like
our concept either scared the shit out of managers, being like, we need your artist. And, you know, typically these people work their whole lives to build up a reputation so that when they make music, it's very methodical, very thought out. They work for sometimes years, like the Travis Barker Machine Gun Kelly record, I guess, had been at that time ruminating for, I think, over a year. They'd been working on stuff. And, you know, at the time when we got connected with MGK and 24K Golden and Ian Dior, it was almost like it started with Machine Gun Kelly and 24K Golden saying yes at the same time, but like not fully knowing what they agreed to. In the first day that MGK showed up here, he was like, what is this? And then he tracked immediately two songs. But the thing with 24K Golden, which was even stranger, was he was just some nice kid that we knew through Nancy Josephson. We had tried to do demos with him in the past. And then midway through this thing, we're like, oh shit, he's about to like have a number one song and he's going to like flush our number down the toilet. There's no way the conversations we had 6 weeks ago are going to be relevant anymore.
I remember when we were like, both like, oh, this Mood song's like pretty good. It's got like 5 million streams, like flash forward and like, you know, it's over like 2.1 billion streams. It's probably like even more than that now. And it has two of the three marquee acts in Halloween and Hell.
We kind of got lucky because a year later, this lineup looks really, really good. And that's my first question to you is like, we made this thing. It came out. It did pretty well. But here we are a year later, the first time that a podcast is now being rebroadcast the exact same way it was the year before and ending up, you know, most podcasts are single serve. You listen to them, they're done. You never see them again. We're back on the front page of Apple. And, you know, this weekend, I don't know if you saw SiriusXM, they were playing not just Climb, but a whole bunch of the music from Halloween. Like, how is that? You know, you and I have been trying to get figure out discovery ways for our music for years. Not that people haven't heard our music, but just in the popular context, did you think that that was something that was going to happen a year later?
I will answer that, but just you mentioned something. I've read an article of Paul McCartney about how every morning when he works out, he watches American Pickers.
So McCartney knows our work.
McCartney has heard our music.
I saw that too. I was going to tell you that, but I thought that was like, too much of a Jared spin. But that's true. No, he knows our work.
I was going to send it to you too and be like, there is a 100% chance that Paul McCartney has listened to something that I've done.
100%. That's a guaranteed certainty.
You're right. Which in the back of my head is like, the most niche, weird, like, fanboy thing to think about a connection between you and, like, one of the most famous musicians that ever was. But I think that it was, like, a moment in time for it to have happened a year prior because the whole event-based podcast or movie point of view of, like, scripted content is, I think, like a genius thing to do because personally, I tend to watch like similar films around Christmas, similar films around Thanksgiving. I watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles like every Thanksgiving. There's like the Die Hard, Trading Places, the Elf.
But I will do you one better on that, in that most of these tentpole things that you're talking about, a lot of them have songs that peak at certain times during the year. Like they show a graph with Spotify. It says the use of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas on a sort of month by month trajectory. And it's like 0000. And then like the most streamed song on Spotify, then 00. So, I mean, there is something to, I think there was a purpose, whether we knew it or not, that like here we are a year later, and then, you know, my lawyer and John Ingrassi, who works in music with us, going, dude, I was just on Sirius on Hits One, and they're playing a bunch of the songs. It wasn't just one; it's like a bunch of them. Which is, I wanted to like also, you know, see if that did anything in the Spotify app with, you know, streaming numbers, but with SiriusXM being now, you know, one of our partners and investors, the ability to take these things, you know, Halloween, Valentine's, prom, and now when we were explaining it last year to our friends and family, they're like, everyone's like, oh, this seems like a cool idea, whatever. Now everyone's got an idea. They're like, you should do Mother's Day in Hell and like National Pet Day in Hell. So we kind of like bumped into a franchise with a few lucky things. And there's a point to this. the COVID thing of us working remotely was kind of a bummer, but I remember, and I want you to like send me the demo after this of how we did climb, because I'm going to insert that here. And it, honestly, if I was working with anyone else, this project would have been a non-starter, because we would have, I would have need to physically been in the room, pick up an instrument, but that is in our world kind of like overrated, you know, like.
Well, I think it's an understanding of how music can be created these days. It's like, I love being in the room, and the hair-raising moment that you get when everyone in the room like writes a song is still like kind of unmatched, because you're experiencing it in the same time and the same place. But that being said, I think that COVID has made it apparent that you can get that same like hair-raising feeling. If like when I got the voice memo from you, I heard a melody in there that like,
yeah, explain to people what they're going to hear, because I'm going to play it. Just explain what it is that I sent you.
So Jared sent me a just like an iPhone voice memo of
gonna climb, climb, climb.
There might have been one or two actual words in there, but it was mostly just a melody.
Can we climb, climb, climb?
And the word climb.
Can we try, try, try?
And I know mine. I better climb, climb, climb. It was like that.
I was just off to the races.
That was yours. Now you were mine. And now I'm time, time, time. Get it out of here. Instead of I'm saying. We're gonna climb, climb, climb. We're gonna climb, climb, climb. Turn it down, turn it down, losing time. Turn it down, turn it down, down. Scrambling in a random and I'm cutting out of time.
It was like tied to like part of a script. And then I think what that moment did for me is realizing that I could do that with just a voice memo, like
I
write
heard
an
it
instrumental.
Back when you sent that, and I was like, this sounds like a hit. And unlike when we had worked on other projects where we were typically make music for other people, it's like our script, our story. So it's like, do we like it? Cool, we're gonna use it. Like, there's also that horrible, frustrating thing when you create something awesome and somebody in a network or a studio goes, could you do it like this? And the other thing that was interesting about when you sent it back to me was, we kind of, people follow algorithms, people follow the Spotify trends. We just kind of guessed as to like what the sound was going to be at the time when we had released it. Because right around the time that we put this out, I think the same week that Halloween came out, and we were working on this like 2 months before, Mood went number one, and Tickets to My Downfall was the number one Hot 200 record. So we're like, man, we guessed, but we're kind of in the zone. Not even like, you know, up our own butts in the zone, like faking, like, oh, we kind of guessed. And we're there. We were like directly in the bullseye.
Once I was yours and you were mine. We had time, time, time. Gotta make it out of here, make it out of life. We gotta climb, climb, climb. I would never leave you, never leave your side. Can we try, try, try to make it out of here, make it out alive? Can we climb, climb, climb?
I need you in the worst. We're like kind of geeking out a little bit last weekend, and it brought back the memories of like, oh, this is exactly like to the day a year ago of like, this excitement starting to kick up. Like, guitars were back to being like an instrument that could be focused on and cool in music. And for, I know for the both of us, like we come from rock backgrounds, we come from guitar kind of focused backgrounds. And it was almost like we were licking our chops, like, oh, it's game on. Like,
yeah.
Like we can absolutely fit back into this world of like rock being almost cool. Again, not that it was like uncool, but it was unpopular.
Travis Barker really, you know, God bless him, because there's more that happens on the heels of this. But he, through that unlocking it, A&R people just went, oh, yeah, I want guitars with my hip hop or guitars with my pop. And we, you know, because we had worked with this artist, and, you know, the next thing that happened was we put this out. It was kind of quiet for a minute, but we did have a second song that we were supposed to put in Halloween in Hell, which ultimately became what happened next. So talk a little bit about just, you know, Love Race and what sort of unlocked after that, because it really unspooled the ability for the rest of the year and artists to say yes to us because of what happened.
I found a silver ring and put it on my finger. It was like Climb, where it was like, I come from like a pop punk type world, and the song just seamlessly fit into that world. And we were initially pitching it to be part of the podcast, and Machine Gun Kelly, like, hearing it in that state.
Oh, I saw it, like, so you, like, just in the room, being, like, not having to, like, futz with the guitars or pick up anything, like, you and I had, like, talked about this one for a minute, and then you're, like, playing the instrumental. We had basically a fully formed song with, like, top line and the rest of it, but then I remember him just going, yeah, could you take off all the vocals? And he, like, came by with name drop Megan Fox, and they're, like, in the studio, and I can see, I'm like, now all I gotta do is basically just let him have access to Pro Tools for a minute and stay out of his way, because he's doing it, like... And then I remember, like, thinking, should I interrupt him and, like, put a word in here? Like, but then he was like, Jared, remind me, how did the chorus go? And I, like, sang it, and he kind of interpolated it. And I was like, okay, yeah, we're in the zone here. This sounds really good. And I think I was texting you going, he's cutting it right now. And, you know, as successful as people think that you and I are, because of, you know, I meet people, like, you know, just yesterday I had people over, and I'll meet big music managers or big artists, and they'll be like, oh, Jared's and his team, they're the most successful songwriters ever in the history of, like, television and film. We still, I think at any level, if you lose this, there's no reason to even be making music, but, like, we still get excited about all this stuff because this was new. You know, we had not really crossed this type of bridge yet, even if the, and it sounds stupid to say this, even if the financial outcome was less predictable or even certain than when we typically do the thing that we do, I remember thinking, this is going to change a lot of things for us.
Nothing is real until it's out and, like, legitimately real. Like, I can see this is actually being released. And it was a kind of, like, trial by fire introduction into, like, how the record business at large in a hit-making world works. And I was, like, kind of keeping it cool for a while. I was like, oh, yeah, like, Travis Barker played drums on it, but, like, I don't know, maybe they have, like, 100 songs where he's tracked drums, and, like, this will never see the light of day. So the second that it came out, it was more like, whoa.
And also, because we had come close a few times, like, we had, you know, you and I had, like, yay, like, back in the day, like, Brett Michaels is cutting a song of ours for, you know, Top Gear. And we're like, hooray, Kris Kristofferson is cutting it. Like, we had so many of those false moments. But I do think that, like, as we were punching the wall, like, the breakthrough came with Climb first, because what I realized was that we were in the zone as well with two A&R people, different labels, Sony Records that had 24 and Interscope that had MGK, both agreeing this is a hit. What they couldn't agree on was, with two artists that had hits at the time, how this was going to work. And the easiest component of the whole soundtrack was actually Ian Dior, because he's this new type of artist that likes to have a lot of material out at the same time, like the way the Trippie Reds do, or even now we're seeing with, like, Drake and Young Thug. They're putting out more frequent music. It's not like this precious stone that, like, is held on to like a diamond, and then when they're ready, they unleash it. And actually, the only person who does that is Adele now. Where they're like, this is a song, it's gonna be big.
Yeah, there's that much confidence there that, like, no, this will be good.
Yeah, it's,
like,
a big song.
I don't need to saturate the market. It's this song.
Yeah, because she cannot do any. She could not theoretically be in a musical with us at the same time that comes out, because that would interrupt. And I get that. But, you know, us having a song like Climb, where it was like, oh, you can't have singles rights, you can't have this. I was like, well, that's a bummer, because, you know, these are two artists that are the two biggest artists in the world, and we brought them together to do this thing. And these are people who knew each other, wanted to work together. In fact, I think MGK agreed to do the project because 24 was in, and then they both said, oh, bring Ian in. So there was this, like, triangle of real, and then Femme, who had worked with all of them, and Dana, who had worked with us in the past. It just felt like
I look back on the soundtrack right now and I'm like, this is cool. And I could actually see all the songs having some utility the way that, like, you know, this Halloween weekend I was watching Rocky Horror Picture Show and I was like, you know, half the songs are good. When you get halfway through the film, it sort of dips off for me a little bit. Same with Nightmare Before Christmas. There's like some winners in there for sure.
Sex, drugs, and empty souls. Yeah, I've been down so low. Never heard the things we've been saying, but we always broke the rules. Sex, drugs, and empty souls. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, oh. Come on, let's go, let's go. Go, go.
I think we are trying to do more of the old, like, soundtrack world where there was a hit song at the right moment in a film that back when you didn't have Spotify, it was like, I need to get that soundtrack because that's the way that I get that song. That's the way, that's how I heard about it. Like, think of, like, the Godzilla soundtrack from, like, 1998. Like, probably, like...
Think about Judgment Night, how that was, like, a musical of, like... hip hop and grunge at the height of the, these two things being this new genre that people were excited about, or even in the 80s, the synergy of Footloose or the Titanic, the way that like the theme is used alongside the song. We, in our best, because we controlled the whole process from tip to tail, we could make, you know, that like violin section or the string section and climb a bed for people to be like, as they're climbing out of hell, like,
yeah.
In my mind, it's like the way this is described as a proto musical or a punk rock music experience or something. I think as we get further down the line with us developing it as an animated show or an annual, you know, experience, the you know, the imitation's the most sincere form of flattery. You saw that, like, Travis just did that, like, Halloween no cap event. You know, we've worked with all these people, but I could see us doing a Halloween experience, whether it's with the primary cast or new cast year on year, because we have a cool story, we have these songs, and it could be, you know, a rotating cast of people, the same way that Broadway characters swap out their actors, you know, every year after they run it for a certain time.
I think that the one, I think that Halloween is going to be the most popular holiday for, like, pop culture. If it already isn't, it will be more so than any other, like, holiday. It's not, like, there's just an aura around it, like, pop culture-wise, that, like, can blow it up. I think there's, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas have their, like, family appeal, and there's kind of, like, a warmness to that. But Halloween is, like, the one that kicks off the holiday season, like, in earnest, in, like, a fun way that making music and a, like, curated experience around that is something that, like, it has legs. Like, you're right. We can
plan and actually have a different outcome than us just, like, we kind of threw it at the wall like spaghetti and, like, and it worked.
We can build the aura of this one part year on year because the initial starting point was so inspired that now we just kind of, like, relive it. Like, how long is it? There's some, like, hits that take years to gestate until they, like, resonate to a point where, like, yeah, that's the Halloween song.
That's the one. There's no doubt about that. That's the cool thing about owning and controlling the music that we've put in our content is no song left behind. You and I have a history of taking things that are, like, from the crypt of our world that are, like, good. And the amount of projects we're working on at once, you know, working with Sonic Leap, with Trippy Red, taking all these incredible songs we have, you know, at any given time, Uncle Drank, Make It Up As We Go, Ego System with Mike Dean, and all these songs that we've created over, you know, a huge time period, of, you know, and seeing them brought to life through these different vehicles. Pierre, I feel like for us, the mission of this business is really, can these weird forms of storytelling be the new gateway, like the way you just said with films, can be a discovery platform for music? at first, it's going to take a hot minute, I think, for people to even understand what we're doing. That's why I wanted to do this bonus episode to explain how important, like, this music is to the creation process. It's not like we were commissioned by a Hollywood studio to do this. We thought up an idea, and we were like, oh, Halloween story. Let's write it. Here's the story, Jimmy. Type it up. And then you and I were like, where's the musical moments? There's no spotter. There's no supervisor. We're like, one in every episode, if we can, maybe two.
I don't think there's a holiday that's more fun to write music to and also more versatile than Halloween. Christmas music, you know what it sounds like. If you listen to it in a different season,
doesn't work.
You're like this just makes me think of Christmas and it's the summer. I don't want to do that. Halloween, like that's the other great thing about this series is that like we then made two others based around very like kind of common tropes in the horror genre. Yeah. Like there are a few New Year's Eve horror genre niche ones. There's Valentine's Day ones that are My Bloody Valentine being, they made it, they remade it. Both of them are amazing. Prom, Carrie, like...
The cool thing about unlocking what we did with Halloween was it, you know, it was hard to do the first one because it happened quickly and we were sort of like... you're right, we were inspired, but like not entirely certain. We were the only ones that thought that this was a good idea. Everyone else around us was like, okay, cool. And then, you know, unlocking from that, the relationships that we had mentioned with the 24, Ian and MGK led to right after Valentine's Day with Ian and Jaden and all these other people being a part of it. And then, at, you know, 44 Phantom and Swaco. And it seems like every time we started working with an artist, whether it was Jaden or Swaco, they would just immediately start popping off and doing well, whether we were just like catching lucky dice rolls or had a good eye for the ball. But I'm looking at the actual Spotify playlist of all the stuff we did in less than a year. It's pretty crazy. Like the amount of songs and the amount of streams for, and what it also led to with like 24K Golden also being a partner on the Golden State Warriors with us and how we've been able to, we're not their label. We're not their publisher. We are the same way that a production company or like a Pharrell or a Max Martin is to an artist. It's pretty rare that like a Max Martin or a Pharrell, well, Pharrell's not a good example, but a Max Martin would go, hey, I have something of my own. Will you guys cut it? They're not really in that business. They're mostly, hey, pay me and I'll make your track sound fucking awesome. We are, hey, do this thing with us. And we hope that it's additive to your brand, but it's certainly additive to the world that we've created and the world of podcasts, which are white hot right now. I think we're going to see a shift in major labels looking at this model a year or 2 years from now. Hopefully we'll look back on this conversation and the Astro Worlds of the future or the Dondas of the future, these experiential things, I think will be accompanied by this like meta layer of audio on top of it. And the word of the week is with Mark Zuckerberg changing.
I was gonna say
Facebook meta. To meta. It's a world. It's just world building. And you know, more people sent me articles in the last 2 weeks showing what's the correlation between, you know, world building and podcasts or AR or VR or Roblox or metaverses. And they're not wrong. It's people want more with their entertainment than just the song or just a TV show or just a film. People are buying into something much, much bigger when they are truly becoming fans of a certain type of content, whether it's gaming or a Harry Potter book or the Star Wars universe.
Halloween probably has the most different series that exist. The Halloween theme, John Carpenter's remixed that many times. It accompanies every series. I'm sure it's been sampled in like a song outside of that in a way like to use, and you're still like kind of banking on that cultural cachet of like, oh, this is Halloween. You're going to be like kind of freaked out by it. And that's a way of expanding that whole feeling outside of just the movie that you're watching or the specific score that you're listening to. Like, how can we make it even more of like an experience outside of, this is a movie you watch once and that's it.
Well, I mean, it's amazing the things that like stick with us, because the John Carpenter thing is like, that's the IP of the sound is as important. You know, anytime someone has to remake the film, whether he's involved or not as an EP or a director or whatever, that music comes with it. And that's a big part of what we're doing here. I'm excited for you to get out to LA tomorrow. We have two projects we're working on at once, as per usual. So buckle up and I'll see you tomorrow. But I will say, I'm going to let everybody We're going to take you out here as we are wrapping the episode. We're going to play you a few demos, and I'll talk over them to explain what's going on. I'm going to pull up a few of the oldies, and then Jeff, don't forget, send me Climb, and I'll plug that in here too and explain what was going on.
You got it. See you tomorrow, man.
Thanks, Jeff. You wanna be part of me, part of me, part of me, part of me. Thank you for listening. I'm going to ask you all to check out the music anywhere that you stream your favorite song, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music. If you want to check out the music from Halloween in Hell, you can go to any of the popular DSPs and stream it. I also want to encourage you to check out the audioup.com website, where you can unlock more musical stories. We have some great projects out, including the hit series Strawberry Spring with Stephen King, which we also created original music for. We have season one of Make It Up As We Go, and we have a lot of new titles coming your way starting in December and into 2022. It's an exciting time to be in the music space and be in the podcast space, and we're lucky to be part of both. So if you like what you're listening to, please support the music, please support the podcast, give them a nice 5-star rating, leave a review. Everything you do helps create awareness for what we're trying to do, and thank you so much for being a listener and being fans of what we're trying to do here. We will speak to you soon, and have a happy Halloween.